I gave that Ricky Stenicki movie a chance this past weekend, and I gotta say, I'm actually pretty impressed. Like, I haven't heard much negativity about it. I do, like, hear a lot of people saying, you know, it's a little, I guess, cliche, so to speak. It doesn't really add much else to, I guess, the comedy realm in a way. But then again, it's a movie that really doesn't have to, and I still think the story is pretty decent. It's pretty unique, and it's nice to see some more unique kind of stories coming out, and it's not just sort of repeating the same thing over and over again. So I got to give it credit for that, at least. So giving it that amount of credit, you know, what is Ricky Stenicki about? It's about this group of friends who made up a character when they were younger, and they use that character as a way to kind of, I guess, get away with shit and sort of just have somebody to either put the blame on or use as an excuse or anything like that. And they kept it throughout the years and into their adulthood. They kind of created this persona that they've had to keep track of so they could lie to people to sort of do the things that they want. And that does sound a little far-fetched to kind of bring something like that out, but then again, it's, you know, it's not real. It's a movie. So I kind of don't sit there and say, hey, I don't like this movie because it did something that didn't make any sense. It's not supposed to make sense, especially when it comes to the idea of a comedy, and then it coming back to all backfire on them. Like, you knew that was going to happen. So, of course, what happens when it backfires on them? Well, they have to do one of two things. They either double down and continue the lie, or they fess up. And of course, they don't fess up. So the three friends, they go out and they find this actor who they hire to get to play this character that doesn't exist and act like a real person who they've known their whole lives. And then in comes John Cena. And I don't know why, but I feel like John Cena is just untouchable right now. And I'm not even saying that as like some like wrestling fan or anything. I was an Attitude Wrestling fan. I'm not part of the Make-A-Wish wrestling era. I'm part of the Attitude era. And what I mean by the Make-A-Wish era is that era where it was like John Cena and Randy Orton and all these guys, they were all going to, you know, it was all about, you know, the kids and the troops and family friendliness. And a lot of them might have been really about that, but it was kind of more about WWE moving away from a lot of the more mature or violent aspects of their company, which is what they left in the Attitude Era. So that's the era I grew up in, and I've always loved that era. And once that era, I saw that era kind of depleting, I kind of got out of it. So I never really was a fan of John Cena as a wrestler. But as an actor, I can't say I've seen one thing that I have not liked him in. And I'm not saying I've seen all of his stuff, but everything I have seen that he pops up in, I find enjoyment in. And I think he does a tremendous job, and I think he seems really fun, and he seems to have a lot of fun being an actor. He doesn't take it, I guess, as seriously as most other wrestlers who become actors do. He takes it like as it comes. You know, he goes along and he goes with the flow, and he does things that it's kind of not like that of most of the other wrestler to actors we've seen. So when you see him in this role and he's dressed as, you know, Britney Spears, and he's making fun of like Motley Crue and doing the songs to mimic like them being about jerking off, it's hilarious because it's John Cena doing it, and he sells it hand, foot, tail. He sells the whole thing, and it's fantastic. It's one of the funniest portions of this movie, is just seeing John Cena dressed as like friggin' Axl Rose. It's just the funniest fucking thing. Oh my god. Oh, I'm crying. That was so fucking funny. So, and as the plot progresses, of course, the lie goes deeper and deeper, and a lot of plot points that may not make a lot of sense to a lot of people. But again, it's kind of up for debate, the things that most people would find funny and most people don't. And I feel like because this has kind of gotten middle of the ground reviews, you know, I think it's got like a 49% on Rotten Tomatoes or something. It's going to show you that, like, okay, there's at least half of the population that's going to find enjoyment out of this and half that don't. And it's more than likely because of the comedy, because it is very much an, you have to appreciate the story for what it is and not try to break it down and prick it with needles and try to nitpick at the little details and stuff. Now, are there things about the film that I wish were a little bit more fleshed out. Absolutely. I think the Zac Efron character had a lot there that they didn't really touch base on, that if they added another 15 minutes, do a little backstory, do a little bit more understanding about that character, wouldn't have been good. I think so. They sort of touch base on his character for like, I don't know, a minute and a half, and that's about it. And then you just kind of go on like, oh, okay, like they're starting to really give some depth to this character, give some more oomph, give us some more, like a little bit more gravy for, you know, the tasting. You know, now it's just been plain mashed potatoes, and I want more gravy for this character. But then they just kind of, it just kind of falls flat, and they don't do anything with it. So that's probably something I would have liked more, a little bit more fleshing out with some of these characters, because it just kind of starts with them as kids, skips to their adults, drops them into this plot, tries to make it all make sense, and then it just leads up to its ending, which to me is actually, you know, probably the best ending this movie would have gotten, because of course you know that they're all going to get found out at some point, but when they get found out, it actually winds up working in their favor, because they see not just the story of making this fake character, but this fake character actually being a new identity for John Cena's character at the beginning. Like, he really didn't like his life, so he took this fake life that these three guys made up and turned it into a real one. So now this fake character is now a real character. A real person, you know. It's sort of like Pinocchio. Like they pulled a Pinocchio, and a lot of people might not like that. I appreciated it, but I still stand behind the idea that it probably would have done a little bit better if they fleshed out some more character traits to kind of make some things a little bit more meaningful. They don't really do a lot of that. And the thing is, if they left out any of the backstory they tease, any of the little snippets of dialogue that tease what the past might have meant to kind of lead up to where they are now, I probably would have been okay with that. If they would have just left it as just, this is just nonsensical bullshit, it's just not, we're just going to go through this story and we're just going to get through it till the end. And they didn't add all of this stuff like, you know, oh, I heard, you know, I know what really happened to your arm. I know that your father was a mean drunk and all that. It's just one line, and then they just ignore it for the rest of the movie. And it's just like, why not flesh that out? Why not give us a little bit more? Why not make it about one character? And they don't, because the point of the three friends is one's like this, he has a baby in the beginning of the film, and he's just like this hyper dad kind of thing. This very much, what's the one stupid thing he does? And it's great because it's played by Andrew Santino, and it's great to see him in a film and just see that he has the chops for film like that. So I can't wait to see him in more films. That's going to be great if he continues it, because I love the Bad Friends podcast. I think that thing is hilarious. So I'm hoping to see more of him do that. And he just plays this like overbearing white guy father figure where he's like, the baby needs skin to skin, so he's like shirtless holding the shirtless baby, and then at the end of the scene he's like, he's allowing the baby to suck on his nipple, and they're like, you can't let him do that, and he's like, no, we're bonding. It's just the dumbest thing in the world, because he's meant to be like this hyper form of a joke on what the white super dad is. So that's the joke on that one. Then you have Zac Efron, who's sort of like the leader of the trio of these friends in a way, but not so much. He's just like the main focus for the majority of the film, but he's not really, they don't really dictate who is kind of the lead of the three friends. They all are kind of equals. But they do focus a little bit more on the Zac Efron story. And he's the one that has the messed up background that they never really touch base on. The only thing they really touch base on is the fact that he doesn't want kids. And you see them kind of teasing that throughout the film, that he doesn't want kids. And eventually you think it's going to lead to him wanting kids. I don't really recall if they ever really came to a conclusion with that. And I think that's just kind of left it dead in the water. And then there's the other character, I forget the character's name, but I think it's played by Jermaine Fowler. And he plays the gay friend who's kind of down on his luck, and he doesn't have a job, and he's just kind of trying to figure his life out. And they do a little bit more backstory-ish stuff with him, but it's more so to kind of show you how serious the John Cena character of... it's not Ricky. What's his name? before he becomes Ricky. Rod. His name is Rod. So it shows how Rod is more so willing to kind of really be friends with them, but also take his character seriously. And that's what Jermaine's character is there for. And I think Jermaine's character's name is Wes. I think it's Wes, if I'm not mistaken. It's Dean, Wes, AJ, TJ, AJ, TJ. I can't remember Andrew Santino's character's name, but I do remember it was Jermaine's character was Wes now. So Rod and Wes are bonding, and they do that so you can kind of have a little bit of an understanding of Jermaine's character, but also a little bit more of an understanding of Rod's character, as well as kind of just showing, hey, Rod's taking this seriously, but he's also exceeding the expectations because he's also really trying to be a human to his quote-unquote lifelong friend, or the lifelong friend of Ricky Stenicki, that he's now Ricky. It's a good movie. I'm not saying it's not a good movie, and maybe I am explaining it very like piss poorly because I'm trying to remember names even though I just watched it, but it's a really good movie that's very unique, and maybe there could have been some changes to the script that I would have done, and I think a lot of people would agree with me on that, that would have probably given the film a little bit more depth, but because it doesn't have that, I can also see why a lot of people might not like it, why it would get a poor rating, and why a lot of people probably just wouldn't find it funny. Like, you have to appreciate the basis of the story, the foundation of the story, to appreciate what a movie like this brings to the table, and me, for one, I appreciate it.